We're taking podcasting to a whole new level. New video podcasts are available now. Download video podcasts from PTI, Around the Horn, and Mike and Mike. From PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, Matthew Berry joining us this week, the talented Mr. Roto, and we're going to unveil our big fantasy basketball challenge that is really going to take America by storm. Matthew, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited about this. This is going to be fun. This is me and you mingling with the public, getting among the common folk.
I'd like to think we are the common folk, though. That's why this is really fun.
No, I'm definitely common folk. You're slightly above common folk.
Oh, like I'm upper class common folk? That hurts.
No, you are definitely upper class common folk. I mean, just of those of note, you're sort of like at the bottom rung.
I think I'm just old. I don't think it has anything to do with class. I think I'm just an old person.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
There's no question. You're definitely older than I am.
Do you know my birthday is the same? I think it's the same week as Ken Griffey Jr. And I was watching him stumble around in the outfield during the playoffs, and I was like, oh my God, I should just kill myself. I'm going to have a walker soon.
Well, you hear some of these, like, this happened, like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. Michael Jackson turned 50.
That was
what?
Terrible. Yeah.
I was like, 50 years old? Really? Michael Jackson?
Yeah,
God, I'm
crazy.
Old. Yeah, that was definitely one of those, wow, I'm old moments.
Do you have an athlete that was, like, the same week as your birthday that you kind of grew up with and watched him become older and that whole thing?
Not that I know of. I was born December 29th. And so I always got screwed. I don't like my birthday. Because it's right there around Christmas. I always got the double gifts. No one was ever around.
Christmas, you're Jewish.
I'm Jewish, but right. Well, exactly. But I mean, you know, Hanukkah too.
Right.
But people would always, it's right around Christmas, so everyone's off celebrating Christmas. And I grew up in Texas where there weren't any Jews. So it's like, okay, first off, you're an outcast because you don't celebrate Christmas. Then I'm an outcast because everyone else is celebrating Christmas with their family, so they don't want to, like, you know, have a party with me. Growing up in school, I never got, like, you know, mom never got to come in with the cupcakes because there's no school on December 29th. I get the double gifts. People would give me, like, a Christmas / Hanukkah and birthday gift. So you always get screwed there. So anyway,
yeah.
I have lots of issues with my birthday. And I think I've just expressed all of them. I do know
this. Double gifting is really extremely unfair. I have a couple of family members who are right around that time. And it just, in fact, when my wife and I decided to potentially bear children,
right.
You never know if you're actually going to have one, but you hope.
Sure.
We really didn't want to go anywhere near that whole holiday season just because we just knew that it would be so wildly unfair to the kid.
But what, time out for a second. I mean, I think that's right. Good for you guys for considering the needs of your children. But how do you plan that? How do you say, listen, we don't want to, so you back up 9 months. I mean,
about 10.
Right. So almost about 10 months. So basically you and the sports gal basically separate bedrooms for a couple of months there. And then, okay, we're past the double birthday thing. So now we can get
back
to trying.
No, do you remember the scene in Scarface when Tony Montana buried his face in cocaine?
Yeah.
That was me with Viagra.
Right.
I just buried it in there.
Sure.
She gave me the green light, and that was it.
That was it. Nice job.
Yeah.
Bringing home a title.
Yeah, it was good, though. The only thing is we actually got worried that our son was going to be born on Halloween, which is almost worse than being born next to the holiday, because if your birthday is on Halloween, everybody's way more excited for Halloween when you're a kid.
Oh, of course. And
and
it's candy overload. There's no candy that you can get the kid or cake that, you know, it's like they're so sweet.
He would have been a diabetic, probably.
The worst, you know, I think getting, having your birthday right around Christmas is the worst. I think Halloween is second. And then I think probably the all-time worst, actually, I'm re-ranking right here, is the kids that are born on leap year, on February 29th.
Oh.
You know, and they only have a birthday once every 4 years.
They have the pseudo birthday on February 28th.
Yeah. It just sucks. That's the worst one.
You know, though, if it happens with a girl, though, they have self-esteem issues, which could be good for dating.
Trust me, I've made a killing on girls with self-esteem issues.
Leap year girls?
Well, yeah, sure. Lots of self-esteem issues, and certainly that's one of them. Yeah.
I gotta say, I had one of the best birthdays because Mine is in September.
Right.
And when you're a kid, the first couple of birthdays, they get really excited about. So it's like, oh, sure. Hey, it's Billy's birthday. Hey. Yeah. And then by February, everybody's kind of worn out on getting fired up for everybody's birthday. But the September kids really benefit.
Yeah, they do. And you're also, when you're growing up, you're right back into school.
Yeah.
So like all the kids, right. So yeah. Nah,
and then it's like just enough distance between Halloween and the holiday season. I think September's the way to go. I really do.
I'm not surprised to hear this, though. Because I think you have, and you'll probably disagree with me as a Boston sports fan, but I think you've had truly a blessed life. And it just goes to show, starting with your birthday in September.
The whole Boston sports fan being blessed thing, I think you really have to look at what happened from 86 to 2001 when, at one point, I think ESPN had a most tortured sports cities, and I think we were third.
Yeah.
So, and this was like in 2001 or 2002 or in that range. So, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's been fantastic. It's weird. We had Seth Meyers on yesterday, and he was saying how he now roots for the fans of the other teams because he feels guilty, which I thought was interesting when you look at it. But I try to keep my mouth shut. I mean, we play
Stop.
The Devil
no,
Rays.
No, you don't. You try to keep your mouth
well,
shut. Have you ever read one of your own columns? What are you talking about? I try to keep my mouth shut.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
If I say it, though, it makes it seem like I can believe
Stop. It. Stop. It's not the worst. Oh, good. Another column about how one of Bill's Boston's teams won another championship.
Here's the thing, though. What do I do, though? If they're in the finals, like, what do I do? Do I not write about it?
No, of course.
Like,
you have to. I mean,
it just sucks.
No, you absolutely have to. But you can't say statements like I try not to mention it. Because, no, you have to.
I do try.
You know, you do. I mean, like, listen, I'll tell you this much. Like, and there are certain things, like, and I'm not a Boston sports fan. I mean, you know this. I'm an L.A. sports fan. I lived in Virginia until I was 12, so the Redskins are my football team. But I lived in L.A. for most of my adult life, so the Lakers and the Angels are my two teams there. And, you know, but, like, I'll say this as a non-Boston sports fan. When certain things happen, like I was very anxious to read your column the day after the Celtics didn't get the number one draft pick when they weren't going to get Oden or Durant. Yeah, I mean, you remember, like, it was so leading up to that, and you had all these columns about,
that
like,
was tough.
Sure, and then they get the five, and I still remember, like, do we take the Chinese guy if he's still there? Like, I still remember that conversation with your dad.
Well, he looked really good against the chair in the video.
Listen, that chair was stopped in its tracks.
It's a 5.5-foot chair.
Oh, yeah.
He's already been traded. He's on the Nets now. I mean, that guy lasted a year. Yeah, I will say that I think America, if they're ever going to complain about all the Boston columns, should thank God that I'm not a Cubs fan.
Oh, my God.
Because I would be 1,000 times more insufferable. I mean, what happened to them in the first round was really a drive-by shooting.
That was
just a, hey, riding along in my 64, and then boom, I'm dead.
It's like, it was the equivalent of, like, you're driving along and you look great and the top is down and the weather's beautiful and you've got this sweet car and you drive along the street and there's, like, some, like, really pretty girl and she sees you and she smiles and she waves and you're sitting, you're waving back and you're looking real cool and then suddenly you hit a pothole and, like, the coffee in your thing spills all over you and you're just like, ah.
And then you hit your head against the wheel and you get a concussion.
Right.
Hey,
And then the girl ends up dating the paramedic.
As you mentioned, you are a Redskins fan.
Yeah.
Does that mean you have fully bought into Redskins fever?
The Zorn supremacy? Yes.
Yeah.
Supremacy.
Oh, is that what it's called?
The Zorn supremacy? I don't
I
know
like
if it
that.
Is. Yeah. I was sitting thinking, is it the Zorn supremacy? Is it the Zorn ultimatum? I was just trying to come up with the written nicknames for Zorn. I don't know if that's mine or not. Or
what was the firstborn?
What was it? It was the Born
Ultimatum.
The Born
Ultimatum.
Yeah, the Born Ultimatum, Born Supremacy. Joe Mead, what is it? What's the
Born Identity.
Born Identity. The Zorn. I think Ultimatum.
I like Zorn Supremacy.
Zorn Supremacy. That's probably the best one. The Zorn Supremacy.
Yeah.
I actually had the, and everyone accused me of being a homer, but in the preseason, I had all the Redskins as sleepers. Like, obviously, you're drafting Clinton Portis, you know, and Cooley was going to be a top tight end. But I said, I like Jason Campbell, I like Santana Moss, I like Antoine Randle-El, I like all of them as sleepers because the West Coast, I mean, Zorn was coming from Seattle. Sixth most passing touchdowns in the NFL last year, tied for sixth. So, and a quarterback, so he's going to work with Jason Campbell, and I thought the kind of system that he was going to install, and it's turned out this way, was perfect for their skill set, which is a lot of short passes and let them run after the catch. So take advantage of Randle-El's and Moss's speed. So,
Hey, look, hold on, let me stop you now.
All right.
If you're going to keep touting your how much you like the 2008 Redskins offense, then in terms of equal time with the election coming up, then we're going to also have to go through your 2008 Rams analysis and the atrocity that you inflicted on your fantasy readers that who thought Steven Jackson and Torrey Holt were good picks.
Steven Jackson's still going to be. Last year, Bill, stop. What are you talking about? He had a huge game just before the break. Now they got rid of Lenihan.
How do you define huge?
He had like 150 total yards.
And no touchdowns?
Congratulations. It was a pretty good game.
Congratulations. I got 15 points from a starting running back. Oh, hoo-hoo.
Yeah, not everyone can be Lawrence Maroney. You know what?
I didn't like Lawrence Maroney.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
Well, you heard me, whatever. You had Brady as a top pick, too, and Adrian Peterson. We'll see.
Here's the thing, though.
Listen, Steven Jackson did not score a touchdown last year until his fourth game. You look at how he got strong. Remember, in the preseason, Steven Jackson was a guy that didn't play very much with a contract holdout. So now he comes in. Steven Jackson is going to have a big second half. There's no question about it. They're still running an Al Saunders offense, and Al Saunders offense features the running back. Just you saw what he did with Clinton Portis. He had Priest Holmes before in Kansas City. Yeah, man.
Just stop.
What do you stop?
Just stop talking.
Stop talking.
You know, I wish I had had our producer Joe Mead pull up the sound clips from our last podcast as you guaranteed the 2008 Rams as a juggernaut.
By the way, here, I'm looking at it right now. In week four, against Buffalo, against a good Buffalo Bills defense, and a game that they lost, they lost 31-14 to the Bills, Steven Jackson, 110 yards rushing, a touchdown, six receiving, five receptions for 78 yards. He had 24 fantasy points. He was the second best fantasy player that entire week.
That was better than we both thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually watched that game and he broke one screen pass for like 60 yards.
Yeah. They're gonna be playing around. That inflated the numbers.
I don't see it. In fact, you mentioned Peterson.
Yeah.
And he's the guy I think is about to take off because they have an easy schedule coming up. They got Bryant McKinney back. And I think teams now realize
I don't think they have an easy schedule coming up. All right,
no, they played their first four hard games.
They have Detroit at home, easy schedule. But then week seven, they're on the road at Chicago. That's a tough run defense. Okay, week eight is a bye. You're not playing them then. Week nine is Houston. Okay, at home, that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Week 10 is Green Bay, tougher than you might think.
Green Bay didn't really look that tough against Atlanta last week. Run-of-the-mill, mediocre.
They're okay, but I mean, listen, New Orleans is just as bad, and they stopped Adrian Peterson. But all right, that's fine. I'll give you Green Bay as an easy one. Then they're on the road at Tampa Bay, very hard to run on the Buccaneers Tampa Bay. At Jacksonville, you have to figure the Jags get it figured out. Week 13, Chicago at home. So I would argue up until the fantasy playoffs, Chicago, the bye week at Tampa Bay, at Jacksonville, Chicago, five of their next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Five of their next eight, I think, are tough matchups.
I wouldn't say tough. I think tough is like you're playing Baltimore twice.
Chicago twice at Jacksonville.
Chicago is a run-of-the-mill defense. I don't see it. They gave up 30 points to Philly, 27 or whatever. One of the
best offenses. They're seventh in the NFL against the run. They're seventh in the NFL against the run. They're a top 10 run defense right now.
They don't have a Baltimore in their schedule. They don't have a Tennessee in their schedule. That was my point.
No, I think
you would start him in every one of those weeks.
Of course. Well, you're starting him no matter what. He's a no-brainer, but you're saying he's about to take off. But you never let me finish why I thought he was going to take off. All right, go ahead. You said schedule. Fine, go.
I said schedule, and then I was about to go to my second reason, and you started reading the schedule.
Yeah.
I think the Saints tried something against the Vikings that they thought would work, and I think everybody was trying, but you can't. Yeah, I can't even believe I'm saying this. You can't let Gus Frerotte beat you because he actually will beat you. As amazing as this sounds, he beat the Saints.
Yes, he did.
They just decided, all right, we're gonna shove all nine guys up. Peterson is not gonna beat us, and Gus killed him.
Well,
I don't know if you can do that anymore.
I think you can because I think you're basically saying pick your poison, and I think most people say, you know what, I'd rather take my chances with Gus beating me than Adrian Peterson.
But here's the thing. They did basically a nine-man front against that. I don't think you can do nine. I think you can do, you know, eight, maybe seven with the safety.
I think
he can run against that. He did it last year.
Listen, the guy is good, and I'll give you this one. If you can, one in the fantasy playoffs, Peterson at Detroit, at Arizona, Atlanta at home, 14, 15, 16. So it's an amazing, it's a great fantasy playoff schedule.
Yes.
I think it's rough going till you get there. That's my argument.
I would want him on my team in the playoffs.
Yeah,
if
thanks.
I could have him.
Thanks. I would like oxygen to breathe. I mean, no, of course you want those three guys. Of course you want the number two overall fantasy
pick.
You
just downed him.
I downed him because you said he's about to take off. I don't think he's going to be much better than what he's been. I think actually he's going to be down. Listen, he's had 5 weeks he's played five games this season. He's had three great games at Green Bay, Indianapolis, and at Tennessee. Had 17, 18, and 20 points in those two games.
But I don't think he's had a great game yet for him. I think he's somebody that should be getting 30
always.
Plus four times a year.
Of course, but, single-digit fantasy points against Carolina and then against at New Orleans. He lost a lot of teams.
The New Orleans was shocking. I thought he was going to have 45 points in that game.
Loved him this week, of course.
Hey, let's say we started a new draft. Like we knew eight other guys and we all hated our teams. We're like, you know what? We're starting right now, week six. We'll go ahead, Ted. Who would you take first?
You know, I think it's probably got to be Nate and I actually talked about this on our, Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, which you are guest hosting tomorrow, by the way. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday, you can tune in to hear this Thursday. We'd have this argument then. But I think it's somewhere between Barber, Portis, or LT. I probably would still take LT, but I think it's one of those three. I'm a little nervous about LT. That offensive line, he doesn't seem to get healthy, but he tends to get stronger as the year goes on. You know, that's been his sort of MO. Again, didn't play a lot in the preseason. Hasn't gotten 100% healthy yet.
The Football Outsider guys in their book, The Football Prospectus, they did a good job of breaking down that if you have a coaching change and you bring in a coach who's not that good, there's actually no real difference the first year. But I think once you get past that first year and some bad habits start setting in, you start to see the effects. And I'm wondering if that's going to start to happen with the Chargers here. Because that team last week on Sunday looked to me like a team that is going in the wrong direction and is not going to turn it around.
Dude.
So I don't know how that affects Tomlinson, but obviously it's not going to be that good.
Well, I don't think it affects Tomlinson, but listen, you're talking to a long-suffering Redskins fan. Mm. Norv Turner is single-handedly the worst head coach in the NFL right
now. Well, now that the worst two already got fired. Oh, no, Kiffin was that bad, but Linehan was the worst.
I think Norv is worse. Wow. Norv does less with more talent than any guy in the NFL. He is an amazing offensive coordinator. He's an amazing play caller. And traditionally, throughout his career, whether he's an OC or a head coach, his starting running back is a fantastic fantasy player. So I think Tomlinson will be good no matter what. But this is my argument against Phillip Rivers, as I've been saying all along. And when Phillip Rivers was doing three touchdowns, had three touchdowns a game for the first 3 weeks, I was just like, I think he's a sell high. I don't believe in Rivers. And we've seen him come back to earth the last 2 weeks. In 20 years, Norv Turner's been a head coach or an offense coordinator for over 20 years in the NFL. Name one great fantasy quarterback that Norv Turner's ever had. And you can't. He's never had one.
Yeah, even Aikman wasn't really that.
Aikman was never a great fantasy quarterback. He was a great quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But he was always handing off to Emmitt Smith. I mean, I played fantasy back then. Aikman always went like in the middle rounds.
Yeah, he was never – and you felt really good when he was on your team, but he never did anything because your team looked better on paper because Troy Aikman was on it.
He was always 200, 250, and two touchdowns. He was never, he was never putting up McNabb type, Cutler 400 yards, three touchdowns, four touchdown, Kurt Warner type games.
I got to say, I watched the last two Redskins games very closely.
Mm-hmm. You buying it?
Well, first of all, I thought they legitimately won both games and they weren't like if you're Dallas after that game or if you're Philly, you don't look back and say, man, we had them. We gave that game away. Like Washington won those games. And for that reason, and from what I saw from Portis in those two games, which were really like, physical games, I think he's the number one guy. I feel better about him the rest of the way than any other running back.
Well, I think you can make a strong argument for it because especially you look at the Redskins schedule, and I've said I actually think Campbell and Santana Moss are really nice buy lows because they did nothing against Philadelphia and people might be down on them.
Yep.
Look at the Redskins schedule. Okay,
St. Louis
at home, Cleveland at home, then they're at Detroit. Week 9 they have Pittsburgh, but at least that's at home. Bye week in week 10, and then Dallas at home, at Seattle, the Giants at home, at Baltimore. But Cincinnati.
When is that Baltimore?
Baltimore's week 14.
That's the
playoff one.
That's
at Baltimore, but they do have at Cincinnati in week 15, which you think they put up big points there. The other concern about Portis, which is why he might not be number one, is you can't believe I'm saying this, but they might have it so wrapped up by week 15 or 16 that they rest a lot of starters. I mean, there's a very good chance let's say they lose to Pittsburgh on Monday night, there's a chance they go into the bye at 7-2. And even if they go, you know, they split the games the rest of the way, you're looking at a, you know, a 12-4 team, a 13-3 team.
I thought you were going the other direction and saying that they're going to have potentially a couple blowout games where he touches the ball 12 times and then Betts comes in and the third string guy and whoever else and he actually ends up hurting him.
No, the only teams on here that I think they could blow out, not including the St. Louis, Cleveland, Detroit in the next 3 weeks, is Seattle in week 12 or Cincinnati in week 15.
All right, but hold on, Mr. Barry.
Yes,
if you're going to sell me on Washington being a top two or top three contender,
yep,
then that means they're going to blow out a couple teams because that's what the top three contenders do. They blow out teams during the season that you think they might not blow out.
Right. I think they could blow out Detroit in week 8. I think they could easily blow out St. Louis this week in week 6. Cleveland at home in week 7 doesn't scare me at all. Obviously, the Seahawks in week 12, Cincinnati in week 15, any of those. I just don't see them blowing out Dallas, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Giants. That's who they play. But they're done with all their division games on the road. You know the Philadelphia Eagles are, the Dallas Cowboys are third in that division?
It's the most lopsided, I don't know what the word is, but that division, the fact that those four teams are so stacked. Maybe Philly's not that good, though. I was thinking about that last week. Is Philly good? Like, maybe they're just not.
I think Philly's good.
How many times can you have the ball inside the 5-yard line and not score? Like, at some point, you got to think, maybe these guys just can't block.
But you know what? Listen, look at their last three games. Redskins at Chicago, Pittsburgh at Dallas. Actually, those are the last four. I mean, those are four of the best teams in the NFL. Maybe not Chicago, but Chicago's certainly in the upper tier.
But they blow out the Rams in week one.
Right.
They have Dallas in week two that everybody, including myself, thought was the best team in the league. And as it turns out, might not be even one of the top four teams in the league.
Right.
They play Pittsburgh. They only score, 10 points, 13 points?
Yeah, something like, I mean, but you know, the Steelers defense is legit.
Well, I'm just saying.
Right.
And then if
you're
going to
make. But they won that game, right?
Yeah. They won the game, but I'm saying if you're going to make the case for Philly being a contender, it really has to revolve around the fact that they're going to score a lot of points. And after watching them, I just, for whatever reason, happen to watch all of their games, and I don't see it. I just don't think they're that good. I don't think McNabb really inspires people, and I think they're one of those teams that's better off when they're up 30.
I'm a Redskins fan. And I hate the Eagles only slightly less than I hate the Cowboys. But I got to tell you something. McNabb is completely legitimate. That's a very good offense. Andy Reid's a terrific coach.
Hold on. How can you say that's a good offense?
They have
had more chances in the red zone than probably like 10 NFL teams combined. They literally can't punch it into the end zone. They don't have the blockers and they don't have the running back.
I'm not going to argue that they've missed some opportunities.
It's not missing. They can't block anybody.
They've done okay. Plus, Westbrook's been banged up, and they haven't had the full complement of wide receivers.
Westbrook's always banged up.
Okay, but my point is that, to be honest, listen, I'm a Redskins guy. I'm not a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I'm not going to try to defend the Eagles because I don't really like them. But I disagree with you. I disagree with you. They're one of the best offenses in the NFL. They're one of the best offenses in the NFL.
I disagree.
Statistically, I'm looking this up right now.
They don't have an above-average receiver.
This is true.
Their running back has legitimate durability problems and has two injuries.
All right, but he's only missed one game each of the last 2 years.
They have no backup for him.
McCulter's not bad.
He's run of the mill. I thought in the National Football Post today, Mike Lombardi made a really good point. Philly traded the 19th pick in the 2008 draft to Carolina and picked up their 2009 number one and a couple other picks. Huh. Now, they could have taken Felix Jones at 19.
Wow.
And if they had done that, I think that team season is completely different, right?
You have to think so.
Because Felix Jones is, I mean, he's much better than I thought he was going to be. That guy might be the best runner in the draft.
He's a stud. I will say I'm not surprised that Felix Jones has done this well just because I remember Chris Mortensen coming back and telling me that they were like, they're raving about him in Dallas. But they absolutely love
right.
him. You know, Felix Jones has something like, you know, 4 touchdowns in 5 games. I mean, he's
averaging like 9 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Some obscene number.
That would go down if he got regular work. But there's no question. Felix Jones is like a stud waiting to happen.
I was dubious because Jerry Jones, obviously, Arkansas
right.
him, and it just seemed like he had talked himself into this and maybe it wasn't legit. But I talked about it with Sal yesterday on my podcast. We were talking like this Dallas team almost has too many weapons. Like they don't know. It's like a basketball team that has too many scores and whoever goes over half court gets to take the shot. Like, yeah. It's almost like an embarrassment. Like, they don't know what to do with all the weapons they have, and whereas the Patriots last year kind of figured it out.
You know, it's interesting, though, I don't know if he wanted to go on record with this, so I won't say his name, but one of our NFL analysts here at ESPN, who's a former player, mm-hmm. was talking and said to me, he says, I think Tony Romo might be the most overrated guy and probably the worst guy on that team. Mm. I was like, really? And it started a discussion with a bunch of people, and he was just like, when does a guy make a clutch play?
Yeah.
He wasn't saying, like, he's bad. Obviously,
right.
He's a very good, but he's just saying, like, you look at, like, T.O., you look at Barber, the defense is pretty solid there. He says, if you're looking for a weak link on the Cowboys, Witten's obviously terrific. It's Tony Romo, who has that Favre sort of thing, like, I'm going to try to win it myself and just fling it, but isn't Brett Favre. And, you know, there's so many times, I mean, the guy's got a turnover in something like 10 straight games.
That's how I ended my week 3 power poll. I was like, Dallas was number one, but the whole season rested in the hands of Romo, and we really didn't know how good this guy was, because from what we've seen, he makes one dumb play every game, possibly two.
Yeah.
And I used a comparison of Favre from 2000 to 2006, but then I got some emails from some angry Packer fans actually saying it was 1999 to 2006 that Favre did that. They just want to clarify that.
Yeah,
but
fair enough. Yeah.
Hey, we should save the rest of the football talk for the football. What's it called?
Sure. The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It's actually Fantasy Focus Football 06010 is what we call it.
Fantasy Football Podcast.
Fantasy Focus Football.
Fantasy Focus Football sponsored by what's an F?
It's actually sponsored by Charles
Schwab.
Sponsored
by Fuse.
No, we have a real sponsor. It's Charles Schwab. Talk to Chuck. You can talk to Chuck on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
That's a much better sponsor than Lehman Brothers or Bear Stearns, I think.
Currently these days, no question about that. But we're a little surprised that one of those guys didn't. But
quick baseball question.
Yes, sir.
Because the baseball season, fantasy-wise, ended about a week and a half ago.
And we are getting to basketball, by the way. We have a big contest to announce.
Yeah,
I just
want
to tell everyone who's listening.
I just had one baseball question.
All right.
Can you ever remember anything like what happened with the Manny Ramirez last 2 months in the Dodgers swinging more fantasy leagues, good and bad, than what he did?
Mark Teixeira coming over to the Braves, I mean, he was just, I mean, he was kind of a bust in Texas that year. He'd been a top pick in Texas, hadn't really done much, and then came over to the Braves and had like 17 home runs and 54 RBIs in something like 52 games. And those stats are off the top of my head, but it's something like that.
But
so
it wasn't Teixeira, as good as Manny.
Wasn't as good as Manny, but I mean, it's right up there. So I think him.
Well, you look at say you had Manny in your AL league, mm-hmm. and you're like in an auction. So you paid at least $30 for him. If he switched leagues and you had the rule that you just lose the guy when he switches leagues.
Right,
so
I'm in two leagues like that.
He underachieved for you and then he just murdered you by going to the Dodgers. Then if you're in an NL league where you can just pick up free agents, the guy who picked up Manny.
Huge.
All of a sudden added the 1927 Babe Ruth for 2 months. And then if you're in an AL league, which is the one I'm in, where you actually get to keep the guy's stats when he goes over, the guy who won our league won the league because Manny went to the Dodgers and just went crazy and ended up propelling him to first place. I just don't remember. Manny was like the patient X of the 2008 Roto baseball season. He really was.
Yeah.
He determined almost every winner and loser, I feel like.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he obviously had a big impact on it. I mean, I think there's other people too. I mean, I would argue that, you know, guys like Carlos Quinton, even though he got injured, you know.
Well, him getting injured hurt,
you know, I mean.
Tex had a huge last 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. People forget that. I mean, Manny, there was so much talk about Manny, but Teixeira going to the Angels, actually, he had a big second half as well.
I gotta say, I'm hoping they don't re-sign him. I felt like he was the best hitter on that team. He took
I think they're gonna have to.
They have to overpay for him, right?
Of course, but they don't care. They will.
Because the Yankees, he would look great in the Yankees.
Yeah, you know what? Good luck. I know you're trying to talk the Yankees into spending all their money on Teixeira so they don't get Manny. But seriously.
Damn it. You saw right through that.
Yeah, of course. You know,
I think he'd look great in the Yankees. He's a great fielder, switch hitter, in his prime.
Yeah, there you go.
How do you turn down Mark Teixeira?
Oh, God.
Come on.
Listen, what you
not
just have
a cancer
to say is
like Manny. Manny's a cancer. You don't want Manny in the Yankees.
Right, listen, hey, Brian Cashman, it's very simple. Do you want an 8,000 word column from Simmons about Manny on the Yankees or not?
No.
That's what he has to decide. Does he want to have to read that or not?
You know what? It wouldn't even be 500 words. I would be so... I don't know if I write about that one. I think I just bury that and I just start drinking a lot.
Would you, if Manny was on the Yankees,
Worst ever.
Worst ever.
Yeah.
Bird on the Lakers, worse than that.
Well, see, but that never happened.
I know, but I'm just trying to imagine, like, because it seems like I didn't read the Manny column, but I did get the Cliff Notes. Mm. I just don't have 2 days to, you know, dedicate to that. So
hey, listen, you know, exquisitely written journalism.
No, it was a great column.
And no, thank you.
It was a great column, and I thought a very smart point, and I got the sense from reading it that there was, you know, there's probably a lot of stuff that you wanted to get in there that probably couldn't for whatever reason.
Mm.
I don't know, just whatever, with time constraints or length of the article or for whatever reason. But but the point is that, you know, is he the most for you? Is he like your number one guy? I mean, like, you know, I feel like having read you for a while, like, I feel like, you know, Bird's obviously up there in terms of like your favorite, like.
No, Bird is by far the number one guy. Manny was my favorite current athlete other than Brady. Like, right. Brady is still number one for me just because it's just been really fun to watch him. You have a guy on your own team.
But what would be worse, seeing Brady, like, on the Jets?
Well, I think the Manny thing went deeper because he was part of this team that changed the way everybody thought about the Red Sox and the way everybody rooted for them. And he helped to lift this huge burden that was hanging over all of us. And I just don't think they ever did a good job about respecting what that 0-4 team did, and they just got rid of the guys when it was time to get rid of them. And it was like that none of them really mattered. And with Manny, I just think he was one of those guys that really every Red Sox fan loved. And then I was surprised by how many people just were disgusted and turned on him. I'm not saying that, I'm not defending what he did. But at the same time, we were only hearing one side of the story.
Right.
We weren't hearing Manny's side. We were just hearing the side the Red Sox wanted us to hear. Right. So we don't know what the real story was, and that was what bothered me more than anything.
It does take two to tango, and I'm with you that the 0-4 Red Sox, and speaking as a guy who hates the Yankees, like I'm not a Red Sox guy, but I do hate the Yankees, so by default I root for the Red Sox when, like, the Angels aren't there. I did feel like that 0-4 team is like one of the greatest sports stories of all time. You know, being down 3-0 to the Yankees, to their hated rival and the curse and had never won in 1918 and all of that. And the way they won those games in dramatic fashion and, you know, Papelbon coming into his own. And I mean, I'm with you.
That was,
I mean,
07. Like,
that was 07.
You got your years mixed up. No. 04 was 04. When 04 was when Keith Folk threw
Keith Folk.
88 pitches in,
that's right, sorry.
40 hours and then broke down the next year and the fans booed him.
Right.
Which is very depressing.
But well,
did you feel, as an Angels fan, did you feel like you just had no chance at all once the Vlad, once he got thrown out by 50 feet?
Yeah, I could not. I'm so disgusted by that team because they just didn't play like themselves. Like, you win, you lose, whatever it happens. Yeah. You know, and certainly you got amazing pitching performances from John Lester, who beat cancer. That's his full name, right?
Right.
Yeah. I really think at the back of his jersey said, you know, should say Lester who beat cancer.
Well,
it's an amazing story.
That's what we do now.
Of course.
We beat things into the ground.
No question. It's an amazing story. But at some point, just how about the guy's just a really good pitcher?
But they announce games for my wife and my stepmother and not for people that actually watch the games and know who's on every team. That's what they do.
I guess they must.
Get ready. You know, it'll be interesting with the Phillies Dodgers whether they bring up the whole Brett Myers thing.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about illuminating my wife on one of the players? How about bringing up that whole incident?
Yeah, right?
I bet they don't.
Yeah, they may. They probably won't. They'll probably talk about
Tim McCarver will talk about how Manny's despicable, but he'll neglect to talk about the pitcher.
I think that's probably a very fair point. All right, well, but no, so my question is, I guess, about the
Angels-Red Sox.
Angels-Red Sox is just that they didn't. God, they played such terrible defense. They just didn't do what the Angels do. The Angels are known for always. They play really good defense and they have good pitching. I mean, that's what they've done throughout Mike Socha's.
But for some reason,
Eric Ibarn, Howie Kendrick could not do anything. And yeah, so many dumb base running errors that team made.
For some reason, they've just become dunces against the Red Sox.
I don't know.
I don't know why that is. They make the wrong play, the stupidest play, the biggest blunder. Like it's almost like they know something bad's going to happen. Socha just, his demeanor totally changes against the Red Sox. I feel like he's sitting there looking. He just has this look on his face like he's about to have diarrhea all over his pants.
Question for you now. You and I talked about this on the phone the other day. So this I had the same scenario with as I'm a diehard Laker fan.
Yeah.
And so as a result, I hate Shaq. I hate how Shaq like always came in out of shape and then demanded the trade to Miami and sort of got the good press coverage and Kobe didn't. And whatever you think of Kobe, forget. I mean, Shaq was no angel. And, you know, Shaq then goes to Miami, signs for less than Jerry Buss was offering him, shows up in shape. They win a championship. Then on the championship, and I think you actually mentioned this in your column too, you know, throws Phil Jackson under the bus, the greatest, Pat Riley, the greatest coach I've ever seen. Shaq hadn't won anything until Phil Jackson came into his life, you know, and Dwayne Wade won that championship, not Shaq. So whatever. I'm a real anti-Shaq guy.
Yeah.
And then, but then, you know, Miami just went in the toilet and I was like, okay, well, this is what you get. This is why Jerry Buss didn't want to sign Shaq to a long-term deal because he was, you know, the guy would get lazy and get out of shape and like maybe you get one more ring, but then you're stuck with this bloated contract for the next 5 years. So.
A good decision.
Right. And so I was like, well, Miami, you got what, you know, you made your bed. Now you got to lie in it. And then the Phoenix Suns bail him out. And bail him out this season. So it was looking there. Phoenix and, you know, in the NBA playoffs this year, it looks like the Lakers were going to advance and, If it worked out, they were going to play the Spurs or the Suns, and it was like in that series, and I was just like, wow. Part of me like wants the Spurs to win because I don't want to face Shaq. Like I can, if the Lakers are going to lose, I don't want to lose to Shaq.
Yeah.
I so don't want to lose to Shaq. On the other hand, like if you beat Shaq, it makes it all the more sweeter. So I was going through that dilemma in a big way. So I present the same thing to you. Would you rather the Red Sox make the World Series? But face Manny and the Dodgers with the opportunity that you might lose to Manny, or would you rather just the Red Sox not get there at all? Like, if the Red Sox are going to lose, you know what I mean?
I'm always going to pick the World Series over losing.
So you'd rather take the chance that you might lose to Manny in the World Series than lose to the lose to the Rays and just whatever, you know?
I got to say, though, I think this Manny thing is a lot bigger than if the Lakers had gone and get Shaq for a couple reasons. First of all, he was on the Red Sox 2.5 months ago, and they're paying his salary.
Right.
Second, Shaq is, you know, I don't want to say he's washed up, but he's definitely a secondary player at this
right.
point. Manny has the ability to go on the World Series and just destroy the Red Sox, and probably will.
Yeah, I agree with you. And by the way, Shaq at that point had already been, the Suns were his third, you know, his second team after the Lakers. And and he wasn't going to be the star of the Suns, Nash and,
the other thing
and
with the,
Amari. Right.
The other thing with the Manny-Shaq comparison is I think everybody knew, just historically you look at centers and it's like, all right, this guy is now reaching a different point in his career. Like there's nothing that can stop this. It's evolution. This is what's going to happen. I think with Manny, it's a great unknown. He's such a savant with the way he hits and he's just so gifted at it that I feel like if they keep him happy, they might be able to get 4 good years out of him, the Dodgers. Like, it might not be a bad contract. I think it's defensible. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'll probably regret it. But to give that guy $100 million if he's happy like he was this season, and by all indications, it seems like he would be, that might be worth it.
Listen, when Gil Mesh is getting $55 million, I got no problem with that.
I mean, look at you. You come to LA a little bit. You at least have some idea of what's happened. The city that just doesn't care about sports is the worst sports city on the planet. Is now has Manny fever, and that's all anybody's talking about. And on top of that, you know,
LA is a town built on stars, whether they are
stars and bandwagons.
All right, fair enough.
Kobe is so big here because he's a star.
Kobe is a star. That's
he's a celebrity.
Like Matt Leinart, when he was there with USC, no question, same thing. And Manny is a star.
And then you look at beyond that. He hits this whole demographic that team hasn't hit since Valenzuela.
Yes.
He has, you know, first of all, that there are a lot of Dodger fans in the Latino demographic.
Yes, no question.
You know what's funny is even like I'm mentioning Latino, I'm like picking my words like I'm going to say something bad even though all these points are like legitimate points just because of the society we live in now. But
I almost never talk about race because I'm sure I'll say something stupid.
I'm like, "Oh my god, is it bad if I say that they haven't had a Latino star who was huge since Fernando Valenzuela? Is that going to get thrown back in my face?" I mean, this is ridiculous. But he is the first guy they've had since Valenzuela who's tapping into this demographic that's always been there but didn't really have anybody to hold on to. And for that reason alone, I think he's worth $50 million of that $100 million. Don't you think?
Yeah. No, there's no question. But again, Brian Cashman doesn't listen to this podcast. You can try to talk the Yankees out of signing him all you want.
Might. Wait, there's a 1% chance he's a BS Report fan.
But you know what? Even if he's a BS Report fan, it doesn't mean that he's not going to go out and try to get him. Yeah, I mean, you can hope for Teixeira, but I think if the Johnny Damon signing showed you anything, like, and they overpaid for him, and that was literally just to stick it to the Red Sox.
Right. But the thing is, they needed a center fielder that year. And this year, all they have are corner outfielders and potential first basemen and guys who are a year away from being a first baseman.
You're talking logically. Here's what you're rooting for.
You're rooting for the Dodgers.
You're appealing to the wrong person. You're trying to appeal to Cashman to sign him, or you're trying to appeal to the Dodgers to sign
him.
You need to appeal to Scott Boras. And you need to say, like, look, Scott, I think you can get more money from the Dodgers. I think you can get more money. Take him to the Angels. You know, I mean, you've got to stop helping Boras craft his argument for where he can get the most money.
I don't know if the Angels would have worked for Manny.
The only reason why you want to talk about, Latino fan base, obviously Artie Moreno, is the owner of the Angels and, you know, Vladimir Guerrero, they have a lot of players on that team. Mm. That are Latino, because they have a big Latino fan base as well, and so
it's not like the Dodgers, though.
It's not like the Dodgers.
It's bigger. It just feels bigger with Manny and the Dodgers. It's LA's team, and
but just because he is a big star, you know,
they play in Anaheim. Anaheim's the Worcester of California. hey, we got to get to our best.
I like the fact that you just threw two cities under the bus in one comment. Nice job.
I'd like to maybe Worcester is the Anaheim of Massachusetts. One way or the other, that's the analogy. By the way, I loved Worcester and I love going to college there. But I wouldn't want to play baseball there. Anyway, let's get to our basketball contest. Right. Why don't you have the honors of explaining it?
All right. So for those of you who listen to our Fantasy Focus podcast, we do what's called a man's league,
and
so
it's sponsored by Charles Schwab.
Right. Yes, talk to Chuck. And so anyway, the idea is basically this. So fantasy basketball, you can now play for free on ESPN.com. I'll do my corporate shill here. You can play for free on ESPN.com. We have auction draft capability. We have free live scoring. It's 100% free. So if you play fantasy basketball, you're thinking about trying it, come, you do it at ESPN.com. Now, in order to help promote this, Bill, and just because you and I think it'll be fun, you and I are gonna play in a fantasy basketball league. Me, you, and eight other people. Eight people that are listening to this podcast right now. It's me and you against eight listeners.
And when we say people, we mean any kind of people.
Any kind of people.
People who are in college, girls.
Yep.
People who are sitting in their cubicle right now hoping their boss isn't listening.
Right. Men.
People who are out of work, janitors, yes. Porn stars. We don't care.
We really don't. But I will say this, if a porn star did write in, I think we'd have to give special consideration.
I'm gonna say right now, the dude who has his own blog, Christian.
Oh,
I think he should be in. Christian Sings the Blues.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I think he should be one of the 10 teams.
He should be one of the 10 teams. All right. There you go.
It's a great blog.
I believe I have read it. And I believe there are, some of our fellow colleagues here that have made appearances in the blog.
Yes.
And, which was what drew me to that blog. I read that blog. It's a good blog. Have you read it? You've read it?
Hey, listen, I learned a lot about, I drink a lot of muscle milk now. Yeah. And a lot of celery.
I love that we both read this blog. It's a hilarious blog.
It's fantastic.
Just because the guy is like, he's just so honest. It's a very honest blog.
And let me tell you something. If you put him on your no list, then that's on your conscience.
Yeah. No, listen, I'm all for it. I'm with you.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the actresses out there.
Oh, yeah.
These sleazy tattooed actresses who won't do scenes with them because it's against their whatever.
Right. On his no list. Or I love when he gets into these flame message board wars.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's like, and this person was saying this about me on the message board and I blah, blah, blah.
He's the best. I'd have him on my podcast if it wouldn't get me fired.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah. Well
that should be
10 readers.
That should be your last podcast.
That'll be my last podcast. Christian from Christian Sings the Blues. Did you know that Joe Meade had his bachelor party at the U.S. Open?
What? No.
Yeah.
Stop. Get on the mic. Joe Meade's bachelor party was at the U.S. Open?
Yeah, it was like a day at the U.S. Open.
Golf or tennis? I assume golf.
It was tennis.
Oh, even lamer.
Joe Meade, that's not true?
That's a little lame. Joe is rolling his eyes. Not true, Joe?
Joe, it's...
Do you want to defend your manhood?
Admit that it's true, Joe. Admit that it's true.
Bill, I'm not going to admit that.
That was so unforceful. I'm not going to admit the truth that you just spoke of.
All right. We're going to give, maybe that'll be our next contest, is the winner of this basketball contest has to give Joe Mead a real bachelor party.
Okay. There you go. Well, all right, so let's talk about
which would be great if Christian won it. If Christian won it, then we're like golden.
We're so rooting
We've tied the two worlds together.
Yes, we finally.
All right, so we're
together.
We're keeping a spot open for him. So now it's really seven spots.
Seven spots. But here's, so anyway, you compete against Bill and I.
And Christian,
possibly. And a fantasy basketball league. It'll be head-to-head. It's going to be an auction style. We're going to use our auction draft room. And we have lots of great prizes. We're still working this out, but I can tell you this much. Among the prizes will be definitely...
Will potentially be.
Because
we're still ironing it out.
We're still ironing out. We got to go the legal and blah, blah, blah. But is that you get to come to... you get to come to Bristol. Visit me. Get a tour of the campus here at ESPN. We'll put you on the Fantasy Focus podcast get to hang out at ESPN for a day. So,
you know,
I thought
that was a really noble gesture on your part until you mentioned that you wanted to see pictures of all the entrants and potentially get eight females to enter it all between the ages of 20 and 24.
What
and
are
then
you,
I was
what
a little
doing
dubious
to
of you. What did you say? I was a little
Bill,
dubious.
You know what you're doing right now? That. You're pod blocking me. You're totally pod blocking me. Why you got to bring this up? Why are you killing my game?
I like pod blocking. That's funny.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to potentially have some. That's going to be one of the prizes.
Right.
I'm debating.
What, you want to give up?
Well, here's the thing. I'm thinking of going from DVD to Blu-ray.
Right.
And I have my whole DVD collection, and I've been debating on either just putting it on eBay and for like a charity or something, or maybe even putting it in this contest. But it, whatever I contribute is going to be along the lines of that. Something really bizarre and...
That you no longer want. Right.
Yeah, that is
something
garage
that Bill no longer wants or that the sports gal is making you throw out. I'm going to give an actual prize, but regardless, and the other thing is I don't know if you want to, but I'll pony this up. Whoever wins will get a placement in my column on ESPN.com where they can write their own little, you know, I won, I beat Bill and Matthew, or I, you know, whatever
nice.
It is. Right. So they get their
and
own.
And I'll have them on the BS report.
And you'll have them on the BS report. So there you go. A guest spot on the BS report, a guest column on ESPN.com in the fantasy section, and a visit to ESPN.
And you get to do a scene with Christian.
Listen, knowing Christian's past, that may be good or bad. All right, but anyway, so if you're into fantasy basketball, now, so the question is, how do I get into this league, right, Bill?
That's certainly the question on the tip of my tongue.
Right, sure. Well, all right, you're going to email in, and I'll just give out this email address because I don't think there's an email address for the BS report, right?
No. There probably should be.
Right, but there isn't at the moment. So
no, there is not.
FantasyFocus@ESPNRadio.com. That's the email address for the football and basketball podcast. So if you want to be in the Basketball Man's League, the BS Man's League, fantasy basketball, fantasyfocus@espnradio.com. That's the email address. And what you're emailing in is basically why you should be in the league. It's that simple.
But don't make it long. Make it like three or four sentences and like one paragraph.
Right.
No
more than four sentences. And it can be any reason at all why you think you deserve to be in the Man's League. Whether it's something you'll do for Bill or I, whether it's something that you deserve, what you'll bring to the league, why you should be in the fantasy basketball league with me and Bill.
And don't be afraid to bribe us with something like, no. I caught Manny Ramirez broke his bat during game two of the World Series in 2004, and I caught one of the pieces, and I'll mail it to Bill if you guys put me in. I'd accept that.
Right.
In my mind, that's a great entry.
Right. No question. Listen, in the football and baseball leagues that we do on the podcast, we've had tons of, one guy's dressing up as me as Halloween.
Really?
I'm marrying, another guy that got in is, I'm marrying him and his wife.
Marrying him?
I'm marrying him. You know how you can like become a priest or an officiant online?
Is this like when who married David and Donna on 90210?
Who did marry David?
Who was the fluky wedding on 90210 where they like somebody mailed in? I can't remember.
I can't either.
Yeah. It happens on TV.
Mark Consuelos just married Howard Stern, Kelly Ripa's husband. So same sort of thing there. Anyway, so I'm not as big as Mark Consuelos, but
Speak for yourself.
Right, that's true. I might actually be as famous as Mark Consuelos, but
he's Kelly Ripa's husband.
He is Mr. Ripa. But anyway, so there's lots of different, you know, fun things that you could do to try to get in. Somebody named a baby after my co-host Nate, baby Natalie. They were pregnant. They said, if you get us into the man's league, it's crazy what people will do to get in. So I mean,
here's an example. If you say I'm going to start a frozen yogurt. I'm going to open a frozen yogurt stand and call it Simmonberry. That's a good entry, and we would consider you.
Or I work for Ben & Jerry, and I've convinced them for the Simmonberry flavor.
The Simmonberry flavor
of ice cream for Ben & Jerry.
That's perfect. So we're either going to have 7 or 8 spots, depending on Christian's availability.
Right, yes. It's so hilarious. So hilarious.
I really hope he's in it, too. He's a big basketball fan.
Is he a big basketball? I know he's a big sports fan.
He played basketball in college or something.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I would think he'd want to be in.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I read his blog, I sort of skim over the sports stuff. When I'm reading his comments, his blog, I don't always really focus on the sports.
I agree with you. I think if you're Christian, maybe you want to dance with what brought you.
That is an excellent, excellent point.
Well, we'll see how much of this stays. All right. So fantasyfocus@espnradio.com.
Right.
Mail us an entry, 3 or 4 lines at the most, 1 long paragraph. Try not to insult us. That's not a great way to get into the league. Just insulting us.
Just a little hint. Decisions are between me and Bill, just so you know, and it's completely subjective. Just so you know, it's just me and Bill's decision. So,
we were going to have Joe also be in it, but we only wanted it to be people who had a real bachelor party.
Right.
We're going to be the deciders.
Yeah. Sorry, Joe. But you can read about this at like some tennis event. Later.
Joe, did they have lap dances at Flushing Meadows? I didn't realize they incorporated that there.
New this year, Bill.
New this year, really?
Yeah, you got to get your tickets.
Yeah.
Wow.
The ball boys, they keep them working.
Hey, one last thing for me here is on this thing, we should come up with a deadline.
It should be 10 days from now.
10 days from now, Joe Mead? We're recording this on a Wednesday, so... A week from this Friday.
A week from this.
October,
so that would
October 17th.
Well, why don't we make it? Why don't we make it that Monday? Because then we can announce it that way. Or when are we going to have the draft?
Yeah. Well, we'll have to figure that out.
Why don't we do it that Friday? Let's do it that Friday. Then we could tell everybody that weekend that they're in and when the draft is. The other part you neglected to mention.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying anybody should do this, but I also know how it works. You're at work, you're in class, you're looking really for anything to procrastinate. Are our readers going to be able to watch this auction draft as it unfolds?
Possibly. We are working on the technology to see if we can make that happen. But regardless, they will be able to follow this league online, which will be fun.
And they'll be able, right after we have the draft, they'll be able to go and see who has who on what team.
Who has who on what team. Auction draft, and there'll be lots of smack talk, and we'll definitely make the league message board. And I've been in leagues with you before, so between the two of us.
Yeah, you've never been in a basketball league with me. That is a whole other animal, my friend.
Oh, listen, you're not dealing with Kenny Smith here, okay?
I know, but
this
we're
is a
like...
real league. This is gonna be a real league. It's not your little NBA care celebrity league where you're taking on Star Jones, okay? This is a real league.
For you and I personally, this is our Alexander Hamilton Aaron Burr moment. It really is. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it.
Right. Nice hip reference, by the way.
Thank you. Well, I mean, hey, Wikipedia. Sure. Wikipedia that crap.
Believe me, I'm sure they will.
All right, we got to go because we have to tape the Fantasy Football Focus podcast for tomorrow, presented by Charles Schwab.
Yes, this is correct. Look at you. You're a natural.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So fantasyfocus@espnradio.com if you want to be in our fantasy league, if you want to take on the Simmonberry combo. As presented by Ben & Jerry's. And that's it. We'll have more information in the weeks to come.
Right. You got 10 days. Get it in.
All right. Matt Berry. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, dude.
Bye-bye.
Target the sound off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter@espnradio.com.
Peace out.